No one connected the dots. That's how many have characterized the U.S. government in the 3 months before September 11th. As the CIA learned of terrorist threats, the White House scrambled to respond, and the FBI uncovered possible al-Qaeda infiltration of U.S. flight schools. Despite all that, the government was unable to detect the September 11th plot. Whether the terrorist attacks might have been prevented, if someone had connected those dots, is a question that may never be answered. But NPR's Mike Schuster reports there were lots of connections to be made.
As early as June 2001, senior government officials were frantic about threats from al-Qaeda. There were daily meetings in the White House and alerts issued from the FBI, the State Department, and the Federal Aviation Administration. The warnings were serious, the information specific, and some of it had to do with the use of airplanes to kill the president and foreign leaders. Nevertheless, last week when National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice briefed reporters on what the White House and President Bush knew, she insisted the September 11th attacks had been unimaginable.
I don't think anybody could have predicted that these people would take an airplane and slam it into the World Trade Center, take another one and slam it into the Pentagon, that they would try to use an airplane as a missile, a hijacked airplane as a missile. All of this reporting about hijacking was about traditional hijacking.
A close examination of the timeline of events before September 11th flatly contradicts that claim. In early June, a tape from Osama bin Laden surfaced on the Al Jazeera television network in the Middle East. The tape was interpreted by the CIA as a threat to attack American and European targets. Among the suspected targets, the meeting of the G8 leaders, including President Bush, in Genoa last July. Egyptian intelligence warned that an aircraft stuffed with explosives could hit the summit. By June 22nd, CIA Director George Tenet was described as nearly frantic about the possibility of an attack. The State Department sent out a worldwide warning. American military forces in Europe and the Middle East were put on Force Protection Condition Delta, the highest level of alert that a terrorist action against a specific location is imminent. On June 28th, Condoleezza Rice received a briefing from the CIA that an al-Qaeda attack was highly likely in the near future.
On July 2nd, as a result of some of that work, the FBI released a message saying that there are threats to be worried about overseas, but while we cannot foresee attacks domestically, we cannot rule them out.
July 3rd, CIA Director Tenet sends a special request to 30 foreign intelligence agencies to arrest al-Qaeda figures. Activity at the White House intensifies. July 5th, Richard Clark, Rice's chief terrorism expert on the National Security Council, convenes a meeting of the White House's Counterterrorism Security Group, the CSG, then meets with White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card and Rice.
And Dick Clark informed us that he had already had a meeting of the CSG core group and that he was holding another meeting that afternoon that would be focused on threats and that would bring the domestic agencies into the CSG.
At that meeting on July 5th, which includes representatives from the FAA and the FBI, Clark tells the participants something spectacular is going to happen. After that, Rice says, everyone turned up the heat even further to find out where the attacks would come and what would be the targets.
They acted to go so far as to suspend non-essential travel of U.S. counterterrorism staff. So this is a period in which, again, potential attacks overseas were heightened enough that there was almost daily meeting now, sometimes twice a day, of either the CSG or its subgroups.
July 6th, the core counterterrorism group meets again. The concern has become specific: multiple simultaneous attacks on targets in Paris, Rome, and Turkey. By mid-July, Rice says, the CIA succeeded in preventing those attacks, but the fear of hijacking was still high. On July 18th, the FAA warned airlines to exercise the highest level of caution. Throughout this time, the White House was making preparations for President Bush to attend the G8 summit in Genoa on the Italian Riviera starting July 20th. The possibility of terrorist attack at the summit had entered the consciousness of the CIA and the White House in June, and it had intensified during this time, becoming, says Condoleezza Rice, very focused.
And in fact, there was specific threat information about the president.
What Rice did not make clear in her briefing last week, the CIA and other foreign intelligence agencies had discovered a possible al-Qaeda plot to kill President Bush and the other G8 leaders using an airplane to crash into the summit site. The Italian government took this threat so seriously that it deployed anti-aircraft guns at the Genoa airport and closed the airspace over the summit site. On July 10th, in the midst of this high state of alert, an FBI agent in Phoenix sends an electronic memo to FBI headquarters, urging the Bureau to investigate whether Middle Eastern terrorists had infiltrated American flight schools. The memo is shared with other offices within the FBI, but not with other agencies of the government. No action is taken. The FBI was without a head, Louis Free having resigned as director on June 21st. Robert Mueller, who became director of the FBI in September, told a Senate panel this month that the Bureau did not seriously consider starting what would amount to a very large investigation.
There are more than 2,000 aviation academies in the United States. And the latest figure I think I heard is something like 20,000 students attending them. And it was perceived that this would be a monumental undertaking without any specificity as to particular persons. The individuals who were being investigated by that agents in Phoenix were not the individuals that were involved in the September 11th attack.
The Phoenix memo was shared with the Bureau's Radical Fundamentalist Unit within the Counterterrorism Division, with the Osama bin Laden Unit, and with the New York Field Office, which spearheaded terrorism investigations for the past decade. Mueller said it was not seen by the acting director of the FBI before September 11th, and he did not see it until after the attacks.
Even if we had followed those suggestions at that time, it would not, given what we know since September 11th, had enabled us to prevent the attacks of September 11th. But in the same breath, I should say that what we learn from instances such as that is much about the weaknesses of our approach to counterterrorism prior to September 11th.
In the days after the Phoenix memo arrived at FBI headquarters, concern about terrorism remained high throughout the government. July 31st, the FAA, not aware of the FBI Phoenix memo, issues another warning to airlines. Terrorist groups are planning and training for hijackings. August 6th, CIA Director George Tenet, not aware of the FBI Phoenix memo, briefs President Bush at his ranch in Crawford, Texas, on the background to terrorism. That briefing mentions the possibility of hijacking and Osama bin Laden. August 17th, Zakaria Moussaoui is detained in Minnesota after he arouses suspicions at a flight school there. By this time, the White House and the CIA, not aware of either the Phoenix memo or Moussaoui's arrest, lower the level of alert. It is here, says California Senator Dianne Feinstein, that the failure to share information may have been crucial.
Particularly after Mr. Moussaoui was arrested, it should have been a real signal that something was going on. And then, about the same time as the Phoenix memo, United States intelligence, I guess CIA, issued a warning that there was a heightened risk of a terrorist attack on Americans, possibly on U.S. soil. So there were two things out there that should have alerted something in the system.
On September 4th, the FAA did learn of Moussaoui's arrest, but it did not alert the airlines. That day, Robert Mueller became director of the FBI. But he and Attorney General John Ashcroft learned of the Phoenix memo only after September 11th. To his regret, he says.
Do I wish that we had more aggressively followed up on that suggestion at the time? Yes. Are we taking steps to address what the failings or weaknesses were prior to September 11th? Absolutely.
There is no way to tell whether a wider knowledge of the Phoenix memo and Moussaoui's arrest would have uncovered the September 11th plot. The White House, of course, did learn of the arrest of Moussaoui soon after September 11th. But it appears it was as surprised by the recent revelation of the Phoenix memo as the rest of the nation. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Washington.